Oh, hey, I'm so glad that you found us. My name's Michael, and I get to be the pastor at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Florida. You're listening to the It's Better When You're Here podcast, where every week we upload the messages that are preached at our church every Sunday. We hope by listening to this, you feel safe, heard, and loved by the God that created you. We hope this message makes an impact in your life. If listening to this makes a difference, reach out to us and connect with us either on social media or on our website, shepherdsumc.com. All right, here's the message. All right, so friends, we are back on our normally scheduled programming. You know, last week I had a little bit of a Pentecostal moment where I realized I couldn't preach the sermon that I wanted to preach, so we're here in last week's sermon. I'm grateful that I do serve a church I feel safe enough to go off script with once every 4 years. That's how often you can expect that from me. This is not improv up here. I'm not yes-anding the Holy Spirit here. I'm really grateful that I get to prepare every week and share what God has for me. And so today, as we continue to celebrate Pentecost, may we remember that who we are in Christ is molded by the people around us. And the very same thought, may we remember that we are in the process of molding the people around us, whether we mean to or not. The thing I'm going to say today, the thing I hope gets stuck in your head, first thing you can write down or you can put in your digital notes if you would like, is this. This week I want you to pray for help, listen for help, and recognize help. Our passage today comes from Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. I invite you to take your paper Bibles or digital Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 14, or you can just follow on the screen. Here at Shepherd's, we have a fun little tradition. Most Methodists, when you're done reading scripture, you'll say, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. And then everyone says, thanks be to God. But we add a little extra oomph at the end. We like to add the word woo. So get ready to say woo as we read God's word. All right, hear the word of the Lord. Just then Jesus spoke to them. Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid. Peter replied, Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, Lord, rescue me. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, you man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts? When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Very good. So let's talk a little bit about the setting and what we're reading here in God's word in this story. This, if you grew up in the church, you've heard this Bible verse a lot. Jesus walks on water, right? If you were like me and you were a weird kid and there was a sandbar, you'd be like, ooh, look at me, I'm Jesus. Because you could look like you're walking on the water. No, you guys are normal. Cool. But today we're talking about praying for help in a way that I hope feels different. Oftentimes when we're praying because something has gone wrong. We're praying because there's no better option. We're praying as a last resort. But let's talk a little bit about this story. So Jesus and his friends are on a boat when a storm breaks out. They're out on a boat, they're enjoying the sea, and all of a sudden it begins to rock and it begins to move and the wind begins to blow and howl. And they become afraid. But Jesus, being Jesus, sees a storm and thinks, I'd like to go for a walk. And he gets out of the boat and starts walking on water, because that's how Jesus is. I don't know if he has to step real big on the big waves, if he's climbing up waves or not. I don't know what it looks like. All I know is that the disciples are scared, and Jesus decides to go for a stroll. This is a miracle who also rattles the disciples. They see this happen, and they're not excited. They see this happen, and they become afraid. Because, I don't know if you know this, but like if you had a friend that started walking on water, that's not like a normal friendship anymore. That's a sorcerer, right? I mean, they see that, and they're like, whoa, this is not like just a cool hang. This has become something else. This is something more. But then it tells a story of how Peter almost does something awesome. Today, I want you to hear that I want you to pray for help, listen for help, and recognize help. So I want us to dig through these passages. We're going to start at the end and work our way backwards. So there's a storm, Jesus shows up, and then there stops being a storm. When Christ shows up, our storms settle down. We know this, right, friends? We know that in our lives, when things are out of our control, when we can't put our arms around the things that are happening to us, when things are scary, when we feel alone, we know that when Christ shows up, those storms settle down. So when Jesus shows up, when Jesus gets back into the boat, the storm stops. If we want to feel less like a palm tree in a hurricane, we need to have prayer in our lives. How many of you were in Florida in 2004? You guys remember that one? That was tough, right? I remember I was a kid. I was still living with my parents, and my dad had this thing. This is Father's Day, so I can talk about how silly my dad was. He was looking out the front window to see the storm. You know, window, glass. Great, right? Perfect. Great spot to be, as close as you can, nose touching the window during a hurricane. When he says, oh, the air pressure, the window is pulsing in and out. I was like, Dad, get away from the glass. I'm fine. I know what I'm doing. He didn't. He was a Canuck. Like, this is his first hurricane. Like, he had no idea what to do. But he was looking because you could see the storm. We lived up from a lake in Lake Wales. You could see white caps on the lake. You could see trees moving about. If he had stayed there for a little bit longer, he would have seen a tornado touch down in our front yard. We had a tree in our front yard that got twisted like an old plastic water bottle. He was looking at a storm because men, am I right? He saw something. He was like, hey, you only live once. Might as well. But if, I don't know about you, but I can tell when someone has a storm, hang in there. I know this is cheesy pastor talk, but believe in me, okay? When someone has a storm going on inside of themselves, right? You can look at them. You don't have to get your nose against the glass to see that the trees are getting twisted, that there are white caps in the lakes of their lives. Maybe it's the way that when you say, how are you doing? And they say, living the dream. And you know that means they're holding on by a thread. You know, if you ask them, how's your family? Good. And it's such a short, it's not even a syllable. It's more like a grunt, right? They're trying to get past that as fast as they can. You can see that storms happen in other people's lives. Just like the storm that the disciples find themselves in, we too ourselves find ourselves in storms. We can't control storms. That is that terrible Floridian thing, that feeling that we have when you've gotten all of your bottled water, where you've gotten the generator hooked up, where you've eaten half of the Pop-Tarts that you bought, you're prepared, and then there comes that moment where, well, it is what it is. I guess we'll see how the next 36 hours go. But friends, don't you know this, and maybe you've lived this yourself, there are so many people in our world that think, well, we'll see how the next 36 hours go. We'll see if this storm ever passes, and they live in a storm. So the disciples, they're in this storm. Peter is in this storm, and he decides to get out of the boat and walk. That's pretty courageous. That's pretty faithful. But what does Jesus say when he begins to fall? You man of weak faith. I want you to hold on to that, okay? If you've got a paper Bible, put your finger there. I want you to remember that. You man of weak faith. That's what Jesus tells Peter. Remember that, because, boy, that sure does make me curious. Today, I want you to hear this. Pray for help, listen for help, and recognize help. All right, so let's go back to the passage. We'll go back to verse 27. So the boat is in a storm. We have a little video to show you what that looks like. The boat is in a storm. You see, the disciples, they're in a storm. They feel the boat moving. They know that the water is moving, that they don't have control. Just imagine it's waves, okay? They're in a storm. They feel the boat moving. They have lost control. But Peter sees this as an opportunity to have greater faith. And so when he sees the storm, he asks for an experience. When he's in a storm, when he's overcome, when he's overwhelmed, when he's out of control, he asks for an experience. So that requires faith. Peter has faith. Why does Jesus tell him he doesn't? Again, hold on to this. More on that in a moment. We call that a cliffhanger in the biz because I'm curious about that. I want you to pray for help, listen for help, and recognize help. So why does it take us so long to ask for help? Praying for help is hard to do. Why does it take us so long to pray for help? Well, we fear weakness. We fear dependence. We fear encroachment on others, let alone God being a burden. And so we don't pray for help. It's that old, for any of you who have been parents, that old tug of war that you have with your three-year-old. As soon as they've zipped up their jacket once, they have to zip up their jacket on their own forever. As soon as they've learned how to buckle the seatbelt once, they have to be the one that does it forever. I do, no help, right? Have any of you ever had a verbal altercation with a child? Please just let me do this, we're so late, and yet you can't. I wonder sometimes if that's God looking down upon us, looking at us saying, I can do this relationship, I can do it. Let me do. And God is saying, can you please just let me help you. Sometimes, verily, we have to hit rock bottom. Or as in our book that we've been reading together, Help, Thanks, Wow, as Anne Lamott says, when we as human beings finally stop trying to heal our own sick, stressed minds with our sick, stressed minds, we say the same prayer. We say help. When we get tired of trying to heal our problem, friends, with our problem, we are broken down to the place where we finally pray the same prayer. We ask for help. See, you read the passage. Peter hasn't started to sink. Peter is in the water. And he's thinking, I don't know how to swim, but let me see how this goes, right? Maybe today is the day that I'm buoyant enough that I don't need to ask for help. Maybe you have a pattern in your life where a relationship that you have isn't working, where a sin that sets you back isn't changing, where a viewpoint, a worldview, a problem that you have isn't changing, and you think, but maybe just this time, maybe this time is different. Friends, we must pray for help. Pray for help, listen for help, and recognize help. So as we celebrate the birthday of the church, if you were here last week, you got little pinwheels, little red pinwheels to remind you of the light of the Holy Spirit. We still got the red tablecloth. It's not called a tablecloth, but I don't know what it's supposed to be called. I'm not a very good Methodist, but I'm already ordained. Can't take it back. We're reminded then of the Holy Spirit that lives within all of us. The light of the Holy Spirit lives within all of human beings, and it came to us at Pentecost so we could tell people good news. But here's the great news. The Holy Spirit didn't leave when Pentecost ended. It wasn't like, you know, when Christmas ends and Mariah Carey goes back into the ocean before All I Want for Christmas Is You plays again after Thanksgiving. Or let's be honest, after Halloween, right? The Holy Spirit, like Mariah Carey, stays with us. Boy, that's a reach. Stays with us the whole time. The Holy Spirit does not go away. The Holy Spirit also helps us notice when others need help. The Holy Spirit gives us ears to hear when people are calling for help. I don't know if you've seen in the recurring slide, but I'm telling you to listen for help. I'm telling you to listen for other people calling for help. I hope you know this. It is rare that God sends armies of angels to help people. It happens, don't get me wrong, but it's rare. More often than not, it is the church that carries the miracles. People pray for change. People pray for community. People pray for help. People pray when they're lonely. People pray when they're scared. And it's not Gabriel. It's not Michael. It's not some archangel that shows up. It's you and me. It's all of us that show up. We are those armies of angels that show up. So Peter starts drowning as he's walking to Jesus. The question that I have, aren't his friends in a boat? You know? Like, here's the thing. Drowning's bad. But if you've got friends in a boat, it's not that bad. Because hopefully they recognize what drowning looks like, right? Now, obviously, I wasn't there, but I do have a video of what I think it looked like when Peter was drowning. I want you to see this. You know, The internet isn't great, but it does produce this sometimes. And boy, this is, I've watched this for hours. You know, Peter is drowning and the disciples are like, someone needs to do something about this. I mean, he's gonna drown, you know? Look, he never got back up. He died. Someone needs to do something about this guy that's drowning. Don't you think? I'm gonna write a letter to my congressman. Because this drowning, it can't continue. He's not coming back up. Anyways, let's leave, right? And so we as the church, sometimes I feel like we're inside a boat and we're looking out into the world and we're like, someone needs to do something about this. Like, oh man, these drownings keep happening. What is someone else going to do? The disciples saw Peter drowning and they thought, I wonder what's going to happen. The thing is, we know what happens when someone drowns. They go down, they don't come back up. They cease to be, right? One last bubble goes bloop. And the disciples could do and must do something. Friends, today I want you to begin to listen for the word help. Now, there are plenty of people, so many people, who will be screaming, help, help. And then when you ask if they want help, they'll say, no, I'm fine. Why do you think I need help? It's fine, right? And they're not going to accept your help. That's a different situation. But when you see people that need help and are asking for help, either verbally or non-verbally, just know you are the angel that they are waiting for, friends. We're inside the boat. Our friends are drowning. It's time to start rowing, friends. It's time to show people that the church is not some sort of country club for the redeemed, but rather a hospital for those who are in need. Amen? All right, that was tough. I really jumped out there. I'm the one that's drowning. Would someone row up to me? Anyways, okay, I say amen, you say amen. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Golly, y'all so Methodist. Okay, so the miracle of Pentecost means that we carry miracles around. We're the ones that carry miracles. We are the angels that people are waiting for. This week, I want you to pray for help, listen for help, and recognize help. Okay, so I want you to recognize help. Finally, some resolution. I told you to be thinking about Peter and how Jesus told him he didn't have any faith. So why does Jesus tell Peter he lacks faith? Well, Peter waits until he is already drowning to ask for help. Peter is already falling when he asks for help, but Jesus' help was there the whole time. You know, I'm pretty fast for a big fella, but even I can't run fast enough to walk on water, and neither could Peter. Peter was not able to walk on water because of his own magic. He was able to walk on water because of the presence of Christ. Jesus was already there. The thing about the Bible that's interesting to see, anytime someone is talking to Jesus, do you know what they're really doing? They're praying. Try and wrap your mind around this. So Jesus and the disciples are sat at the dining room table, and someone says, hey, Jesus, pass me the salt. If you believe prayer is talking to God, they just prayed, oh Lord, willst thou provide me the salt, right? That is the reality of it. So anytime that you see someone talking to Jesus, they're praying, okay? For our context, they're praying. So Peter has prayed, Lord, if that is you, call me out onto the water. And then he hears a response to his prayer in a way that all of us really wish that we heard responses to prayer with his ears. And Jesus says, come. And so an answer to prayer happens. He walks out onto the water. He sees a prayer happening and being answered around him, and yet he begins to be afraid. He asks for something. He receives it, and he responds with fear. And as he begins to drown, he begins to think, oh, this is when Jesus leaves me. When things get rough, that's when God has disappeared. Peter is only able to walk in the first place because of Jesus, but he falls, I think, because he forgets that help isn't just for an emergency. Help is for every day. Help is for every day. How often do we do that to ourselves? How often do we forget that help, Christ's presence in our life, is the only reason why we're able to do our lives as Christians? We are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit because we're so nice and so sweet, even though so many of you are. We are not good people because of our upbringing or our experience. It is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Everything else is dressing. The reason why we're able to love others more than ourselves, the reason why we're able to love our neighbors as ourselves, the only reason we're able to have grace when people don't deserve it is because of Christ's presence. And yet, when we begin to fall, we think now is the time when Christ has left us. If we could just see that help is at hand and that we need help, we might have faith. This week, I want you to pray for help, listen for help, and recognize help. You know, Peter falls because he forgets where his help comes from. We need to recognize our help. We as the church need to listen for people calling for help because we bring about miracles. We need to listen for help. And we are not getting out of this life without asking for help. We need to pray for help. When we find our world becoming difficult, and before then especially, we need to be practicing prayer that asks for help. We have to overcome our fear of weakness and dependence and encroachment upon God or being a burden and realize that the shoulders of God are wide and can bear all of our burdens. So your action this week, very, very simple. Very simple. This week, I want you to be praying for help. When things are difficult, when things are impossible, when you feel that you are on your own, I want you to pray for help. Don't let it be that the water has come up to your neck and is beyond your chin and you've begun to have to doggy paddle. Far before then, pray for help. And then also, I want you to listen for help. I want you to realize that when others are struggling, there isn't someone else coming. You are the rescue that they are waiting for. And then lastly, may you have grace enough to recognize the help all around you. May you see the presence of the fruits of the Spirit as fingerprints of God's love in your life, that God might show up in your life, might recognize God's love for you, that this world might be changed and transformed because of it. So I want you to pray for help, listen for help, and recognize help. Let's pray. All right, friends, I hope you heard something in today's message that made an impact in your life, helped you know that you're loved by God, and inspired you to do something about the gospel that is offered to you. Now receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.